Now, All Access with Cardinals manager Ollie Marmol. Sponsored by Window World. Simply the best for less. Siteman Cancer Center. National leaders in cancer. And by Circa Sports. Circa Sports. Sports betting the way it should be. On the voice of the Cardinals, KMOX.
You know, I like that it's called All Access, because we do get all the access here. From the Cardinals manager, Oliver Marmol, Bernie Miklas, Chris Ranji, I'm Tom Ackerman. The Cardinals are in Milwaukee for a three-game series. They dropped one yesterday. They get back at it tonight, and we are joined by the manager right now. We do love the access. It is a peek behind the curtain, if you will, and Ollie gives us that for a good half hour on the show. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
Doing great. We always appreciate the transparency, and I do just want to start with this. We can talk about Miz all you want, you know, all the stuff that the Brewers did yesterday. Libby showed me something yesterday, and I'm not alone here, because I'm certain that Cardinals fans have been accustomed to, through the years, saying, oh, it's 3-0. Like, there you go. You just spotted maybe the best pitcher in the game, 3 runs. And this is going to be a long day. All he does is goes 5, strikes out 10, doesn't give up a run after that. I thought that was a very impressive outing for Libby from that standpoint.
I agree. It's you definitely don't want to see that first inning, but Yelich takes a good swing on him for the homer after seeing several sliders. But after that, man, he settled in. We're seeing his last couple outings just more swing and miss. The way he's utilizing his off-speed stuff, the curveball's been good. He's stealing strikes with it. He's punching people out with it underneath the zone. And that's something when you talk about growth in our rotation with some of these young guys, and then Libby specifically, like him being able to miss more bats is important. And he's starting to do that, which is fun to see.
Ollie, Bernie, good to have you as always. Listen, the Cardinals are having a really nice season. Don't get me wrong. May's been more challenging, perhaps. You know, I don't know what the factors are, but you're 11-10. There's a stretch now that where you've lost 4 out of 5. I think you're 6-8 since winning the first 2 games in San Diego. It's no big deal because all teams go up and down. But what have you seen over the last couple of weeks where you can say we need to get better doing this or this or this?
Yeah, a couple things. I don't see the record the way you just did. We got probably the top 5 record in baseball. You can chop it up however we'd like, but the reality is the boys are playing well. Areas of improvement, man, I can speak to a lot of different things. On the bases, there's certain things we can do better with our secondary leads, our contact play, just being on time, our spots of when to run, when not to run. I think going first to third and those things we've been good at, more from a stolen base standpoint. And then the bottom of our order, man, it was good to see Torres just take some really professional at-bats when it comes to controlling the strike zone, putting the ball in play, and just utilizing his game. I think having that down there is going to help the bottom of the lineup, just having an opportunity to get on base for the top of our lineup. That's been our strength up to this point. So those are the areas that come to mind. I think our rotation, what they're doing right now, is actually pretty impressive, and they're continuing to grow. Our bullpen, it's good to have Fernandez and give him an opportunity here, because, again, this is a guy that has shown the ability to miss bats, especially when he has the fastball slider mix the way he wants and it's coming out of the hand the way we saw when we used him for 2 innings, 4 punch outs last outing. So those are the things that kind of come to mind, Vern.
And Ollie, this team has, over the last couple of weeks, they have hit for average pretty well compared to other teams. They've gotten on base. But the runs really aren't there quite as much as they were earlier in the season. Is it what do you attribute that to? Is it a matter of just a little bit of a loss of power? Is it something else? How do you see that?
Yeah, I mean, JJ was on an absolute tear at the beginning, right? Now he's going through a stretch where they're starting to pitch him differently, and I have full confidence that he's going to continue to take really productive at bats, and we'll see the ups and downs of that throughout the whole season. But when you play Pittsburgh and some of these teams, man, we've been facing some really good arms, and you have to scratch and claw, and it may not look the same when you play other teams that don't have that style of pitching. But the teams we played over the last stretch, man, they've pitched us well. They've done a nice job. Ashcraft, I mean, you go down the list, like it's pretty legit. So you tip your cap, you keep moving, you try to do everything possible to combat some of those arms. Yesterday was as electric of a dude that you can ever face, right? So so I attribute some of it to that, and then some of it to just taking better at bats at the bottom of our lineup in order for the top to do what it's done.
I was going to ask you, based on what both of my fellow colleagues just said about record and about competition and what you just said, the NL Central, at what point do you look at the NL Central and say, this is not a fluke? I mean, they all have a winning record. This is crazy. I mean, the Pirates are 28-26. Yeah. They would have the fourth best record. The Pirates would have the fourth best record in the American League right now if they were in that league. I mean, you've seen them all now except the Cubs. What are you seeing here?
It's not a fluke. They're good teams, and they're athletic. They play the game the right way. They play hard, and there's some good arms in our division. What the Pirates could put out there on any given day, and then they go to their bullpen, man, it's real. From the right side, from the left side, the way they can match up. So to your point, I mean, the Pirates, it's easy to go there, and you can lose a series in a heartbeat. You can get swept in a heartbeat playing those guys based on the arms. So you have to come ready, and things have to go your way. But the whole division, the Reds, their lineup, they got some athletes over there as well. We haven't seen the Cubs, but that'll be one that we look forward to. And then Milwaukee, the way they play the game. And it's so the division, I don't think it's a fluke at all. I think there's some really good teams, some really good athletes in the Central.
Ali, I want to go back to something you said a couple minutes ago, talking about the starting pitching.
Yeah.
You know, the one thing that jumped out to me looking at comparing the first month to this month is that your guys, you know, your starters ranked last in the majors in strikeout percentage the first month. You're 15th this month. You've gone from like 16.7% to 21.7%, and your relievers have increased their strikeout rate as well. Yeah. What's gone into that? Because that's a big jump from where you were. What's gone into that to explain it?
Yeah, it is a big jump, and now can we sustain it? Right? Can that be the floor now, and we move from there? And time will tell. But I give a lot of credit to two areas: our pitchers, because they're the ones out there executing, and it's awesome to see how hungry they are for what's next. And I've said that several times, but they're not complacent. Like, they want to know what they can improve on. And Dusty and Hooley and that whole group, man, they've done a really nice job of continuing to push them to not settling for what they have currently done. And we don't miss bats. Like, we've talked about that a ton. But you look at the last several outings of like a Libby and a Palante, like, they're starting to do things that they haven't done in the past, and they're utilizing their arsenal in a way that it's more effective, and they're missing more bats. What Libby did yesterday, that's a team that doesn't punch out a whole lot. So to punch out 10 is pretty impressive. So I like the direction this is headed, but it all boils down to, we said we have to be better in May than we were in April and better in June. Like, we have to continue to make progress. And that's a big key to this whole thing.
Just a follow up again about starting pitching. Palante is a guy that's taken a lot of shots, I guess would be a way to put it.
Sure.
He keeps getting better and better and better. What do you identify in a way that you take where he was last year, what he is right now? What stuff is different about him that enables him to pitch certainly at a higher level?
Yeah, a couple things. The first thing that comes to mind is his ability to attack the zone and be in the zone more. He last year did not get ahead of hitters and would fall behind. And then his combination of just pitching to contact and walks led to a lot of runs, and it would snowball on him just mentally. The game would kind of speed up a little bit, and you see those outings where they just pile on crooked numbers on him. We're not seeing that at all. He's attacking. There's a big emphasis on that rotation, having a competition within the group of who can lead the staff in first pitch strikes and just being in the zone. And if you miss first pitch and it's 1-0, like, how quickly can you back it into the zone and win that 1-1 count? And that's what we're seeing. He's ahead of guys, and his stuff plays better when he's not in those unfavorable counts where he's 2-0, 2-1, 3-1. So I think a lot of it is getting ahead and then allowing his stuff to play in the zone. And then once he gets ahead, man, he's done a really nice job with his breaking stuff of expanding and getting the punch out. So there has been some real good growth there.
Speaking of that growth, because we've got these pitchers that we have talked about, you know, the entire roster really is young, but we've talked a lot about the starting pitching and the oldest guy's 29, and there just is, there's not a ton of collective major league experience. So because they're younger, does it make it easier to mold them the way you want to? Do you even look at it that way? How do you see it because you've got such a young staff?
Yeah, they're hungry for that. And very open to those conversations of how do I improve? But I would say even some of the guys that were here that had been in the league for a long time, like they had that trait as well. Like Goldie, who's been around forever, was, I mean, Nato, all these guys were the really good ones. Don't settle. Like they want to be coached. They want to be pushed. They want to understand what's next and how they can improve certain areas of their game. Collectively, I think we're doing that better than ever. And I think a lot of it, to your point, Chris, is like everyone's in the same boat as far as where they're at in their careers. So collectively, they're hungry for what's next. And you can have those honest conversations with them and continue to push things forward. So, yeah, I would agree.
Where do you see Vic right now? Here's a question coming from one of our listeners. We all appreciate his effort, but from the outside, to have to see progress over 600 ABs, can you share what you're looking for in development and when you'd consider a change?
Yeah, I think we're seeing, you may not agree, but we are seeing better at bats out of him. He's hitting more line drives. He's missing the way he wants to miss. The numbers aren't what you would want them to be. The work is. And at the moment, we want to continue to go down this road. I mean, we got guys hurt. Large isn't here yet. Church is hurt. Urias is hurt. So it's an opportunity for him to continue to show what he's capable of doing. That's just the reality of it. But his last couple weeks, the work he's putting in and his misses have been better. Previous to those 2 weeks, I would have to say, like, man, there was nothing pointing in a direction where we were making real progress. So I do feel like we're heading somewhere. Now it's a matter of him continuing down this road and continuing to show that he can do it.
Let's stay in the outfield. This is kind of an unfair question to you because, first of all, we don't know when Lars Nootbaar will be back. We assume it'll be pretty soon, but exact date, don't know. Yep. Churchy will be out for a while. So where do you think Brian Torres fits in after Newt returns? Do you think there's a good chance he'll still have a spot here if he continues to play well?
That's going to kind of come down to what the next couple weeks look like, right? I think the one thing I can do is give him an opportunity to show that. But I do like the solid play. He's confident in his abilities. He steps into the box. He believes he can beat anybody. He has some versatility as to where you can play him in the infield and in the outfield. In a pinch, you could throw him in center as well. And I just like the style of at bat. We don't expect him to do what he did in his debut all the time, but I just like his presence and what he brings to that bottom of the lineup because, man, we need guys that control the strike zone down there, that can take their walks, that can take their singles, move the ball around a little bit. And he does all of that. So the more guys we can insert in that 6, 7, 8, 9 that have that ability, it feeds the top of our lineup. So I'd love to give him a real good look and an opportunity to show what he's capable of doing. And if he runs with it, then we'll have a tough decision to make.
We've had a couple of people, as you can imagine, ask about Jordan Walker, and Zachary is asking about him in the cleanup spot where he's been doing really well there, and wondering if you would ever think about moving him up to 2 or 3 just to maybe squeeze another at bat out of him.
Yeah, it's a fair question. And we've thought about it. He's settling into that 4 hole, has done a really nice job. I don't feel like our 2 is struggling where you would have to make that flip today. He'll hit in the 3 spot today. So we'll move him up 1 against the lefty, which we've done in the past. But it's a fair question. You want your most productive hitter taking the most at-bats, and that 2 spot makes a lot of sense. So we'll stay put for the time being, but it is something we've discussed.
Now, back to All Access with Cardinals manager Ollie Marmol. Sponsored by Window World. Simply the best for less. Siteman Cancer Center. National leaders in cancer. And by Circa Sports. Circa Sports. Sports betting the way it should be. On the voice of the Cardinals, KMOX.
Michael McGreevy against Kyle Harrison tonight as the Cardinals take on the Brewers. Harrison's a good lefty. He just came off probably his best start of the season against the Cubs. No runs in 7 innings, 2 hits allowed, had 11 strikeouts. Cardinals will counter with a lineup that I would imagine involves Ivan Herrera. He's walked 13 times against lefties, 449 OBP against lefties, and that is since the start of last season. So that's a pretty big chunk there of sample size. And Ollie, on that note, let's talk catchers here. You have Pedro Pajes has been looking good behind the plate. You have Herrera that I mentioned offensively has been able to deliver. You see some of these comments that come in. They love Jimmy. We'll talk about the shiny new toy down in the minor leagues, Jimmy Crooks, who's been playing well. But you put Pozo into the game recently. He throws out Ellie and shows that he still has his arm behind the plate. Just to assess the catcher situation as you could, if you can, as it is right now.
Absolutely. So I think the rotation that we have in place right now with Herrera, he's the key to all of this as far as keeping him to two times through the five-man rotation has allowed him to just stay healthy, and his lower half is in a good spot. I think if we were to increase that and he catches four out of the five, we're not in a position where his bat's in the lineup every day. You'd have to give him a day off. So just keeping him to two right now and DHing the rest of the week, I love having him in the two spot every single day. So it's allowed for that. Petey, offensively, he's not going to be this guy that's going to wow you offensively. Okay. Do I think he can at times take a more professional at bat? Yeah, he's working on that. But you're counting on his defense. You're counting on his ability to control the running game, which he's done a nice job of. And he instills confidence in that rotation in the guys in the pen. There's a reason he's gained that trust. So, and then whenever you hit for Petey, then you have Pozo coming off the bench. And what he did the other day, man, to not catch for a period of time and then get back there and block the way he did and make an accurate throw there to get one of the fastest runners in the game, that's not easy. So I love the fact that he does everything possible to stay ready in case you call on him. And that was a big part of that game. So I appreciate the way he went about that. But that's where we're at. And then Crooksy's making progress down below, man. We've tasked him with different things, and our minor league staff and directors have done a really nice job of preparing him for when that opportunity comes. And they make that decision for him to be as ready as possible. We also had Yachty go down there last week and spend some time with him. And I was able to kind of debrief with Yacht as far as what he saw, and it was very, very positive. So I love where we're at. We have options. And at some point, tough decisions to make.
Ollie, I wanted to switch to Mason Wynn. And let me preface this by saying, I think everybody has immense respect for him. And I ask this question out of respect because I think he's a really good player. Yeah. But I know he gets to a certain point the last couple of years offensively, and he kind of stays there. And I know that he's got more there. I'm sure you all believe he's got more there. What's it going to take to sort of break this area where he gets stuck in terms of level of performance and maybe get to above average in a lot of different categories?
Yeah, it's a good question because you can easily have a lineup around him where what he's doing right now is completely acceptable, and you just take the upside of the defense that's at the very, very top of the league. Like, there's a big difference when Mason plays short and when he doesn't. Like, plays get made that other guys just can't make or get to. So if you were to tell me that you can build around more offense and have him do what he's doing right now, am I okay with it? I am. Do I think there's a crazy amount of upside that we're not tapping into yet? I really do. I think he has a skill set that allows for more production, and he's working hard at it. And I know I say that about guys, and it's not a cop-out. Like, he's putting in the work. He's trying to do the things that you hear him say as far as using the whole field and not trying to get pull happy and be able to spray the ball over the park. It's just not showing up the way he would like either. And then when you want to catch a couple of those breaks where you hit something to the right side and the second baseman snags it, or it's right at the right fielder, like, those are the ones you want to drop in order to start to build some confidence and kind of get rolling. And that just hasn't happened for him. But if you're asking me specific to the skill set, I do think there's a lot more that we haven't seen yet. It's our job to try to figure out a way to unlock that. And I can tell you that Brownie and BA and that whole group are working tirelessly to be able to do that. I just don't think we're there yet.
Looking at your bullpen, Riley O'Brien, he had a stretch there where he was pitching a lot. That sinker kind of I don't know, got lost or left him or something. Where is he right now where you're concerned? And I want to say this too. Last year, you used him a lot where he pitched more than an inning. So the fact that you've pushed him a little bit this year is nothing new. He's shown that he can be durable. But where do you see him going forward? And what does he need to do to maybe just get that sharpness back with that sinker ball?
Just keep pitching. I mean, the reality is you look at our bullpen, I think guys are taking their best shot. And when it comes to Riley, it's nothing more than just continuing to give him opportunities and reps in that position. I love the way he's handling not being perfect. Like, that's part of the gig. And when you're building towards something, like, you want to see how they react to, one, having success, and then the world asking them to continue to repeat it. And then when things don't go well, how, do they go in their shell? Do they start to kind of take steps back? Do they get timid? And we're not seeing that at all. So that's a good sign. And if you would have asked me a year ago if I thought that was the way he would respond, my answer would have been no. So the fact that we're making that much progress with them, not only physically but mentally, is a huge positive. But when it comes to his stuff and not giving up runs, like, you just continue to throw him out there, man. He's our best option. He'll be just fine. Yeah.
Thank you.
To answer your question specifically about the one plus, I'd like to limit the times we do that. There's times where you just have to, and the game's calling for it. But if we can keep him to just a three out save, that's the ideal position for him to be in. Yeah.
With the Cardinals 6 games over .500, and we are 2 months into the season because we got started, what, in the 25th, 26th of March. So we are 2 months in. And being where the team is now, I'm not sure how many people expected it to be 2.5 games out of first, 6 games over. There's a lot to be happy with. What do you think about the team is not where it needs to be right now, though?
Man, I don't see it where the team's not where I want it to be in a certain area as much as just there's still a lot of work to be done. We've played good defense. We've done okay on the bases, but there's opportunities where athletic enough to continue to push the limits on the bases and be smart about when we steal, when we don't steal, when we go first or third. Like, there's certain opportunities there. You've seen some back picks at third base when we're on contact. You've seen the timing of being on contact, not perfectly on time, and we're out at home plate by inches. Like, those are those little things that over 162 allow you to win an extra game or two when you do them well every day. So there's certain areas on the bases, but from a pitching standpoint, man, I truly do feel like we're maximizing what we have there, and the guys are doing a nice job of continuing to make progress. So there's not one specific thing I can point to other than we still have a lot. I'm glad it's going the way it's going, but we have a lot of work to do.
Johnny wants to know if you will put teams on notice. He wants to know, at what point will you start protecting young hitters? Cards lead the league in hit by pitches. I actually looked it up. You are tied for the lead with the Angels, hit 38 times this season. He says, whether it was deliberate or not, I hope you would all put other clubs on notice to be cautious with their pitches. Your thoughts?
The worst thing I could do is answer that question publicly.
There you go, Johnny. There's your answer. But yeah, it is something. I mean, it's something you've noticed. Obviously, it comes up a lot, if it feels like. This is Josh, who goes back to Walker, and heard him speaking about turning his brain off at the plate. And would that help with Scott? I'll say this. When you're playing well, it just continues to feed, doesn't it? Confidence. I mean, I watched Walker celebrate the other day. They put that chain around his neck, and he was walking around that dugout like, that's right. You know, this is what I do. It's been an amazing transformation.
Yes, and spot on as far as if this is something that Scott could benefit from. We had a really good discussion on our last trip about what that looks like, because he's super analytical. He's very detailed. He's very process driven, step by step type of a guy. And at times, I think it actually caps his athleticism when he takes that into the box with him. I think there's a time for it where you have elite preparation and then you're on the on deck circle, man. Like, as you're walking to the plate, the thing he has to have in mind is just go be an athlete. And I think that'll unlock a little bit of what he's capable of doing, where he's not overthinking and paralyzed by just what's this guy going to do to me this, and just the back and forth. I think once the preparation's over with step into the box and be an athlete, we're seeing a little bit more of that. He's been able to voice that to me over the last 10 days, much better. So that's where my optimism's coming from, where I feel like there has been a switch, not only in his work, but also in his approach that can lead to more success. So now we sit back, we watch, and we evaluate.
It's the weekly Nolan Gorman report. What are you seeing? It does look like, hey, listen, the fact that he struck out three times against Miz, hey, whatever.
That you ain't kidding, man. That was electric stuff yesterday. Wow, man. I mean, it's like facing an elite closer for seven innings.
It's crazy. It's,
you just don't see it. They asked me what preparation for someone like him looks like, and I said you just pray, because it's a real at bat. But go ahead with the Gorman question.
No, it really looks like the quality of at bats are pretty good. And we've talked about this. His numbers when he plays third base, it's a coincidence or whatever, are really good. We've talked about this a million times, but how close is he to that, for lack of a better term, breakthrough that you hope to see for him?
Not sure. I mean, I'm just being honest. Like, you just continue to play him. And I hear the third base DH thing, and people, I'll just put him at third every day. That's dumb. Like, you have no idea what you're talking about if you think you can just play him at third every day. In order to protect him and keep him healthy, that's not an option. He does a much better job of protecting the lower back and doing everything possible to stay ready every day. But the cadence that we currently have is the smart play. So the difference between his numbers there, like, they are what they are. I don't think he can explain them or anyone can explain them. But as far as breakthrough and how close we are, like, all we can do is continue to put him out there and allow him to show what he's capable of doing. The work that's being put in is what you would want. Now it's a matter of consistent play. So we'll continue to do exactly that. When you talk about giving opportunity this year, that's exactly what is taking place.
Is there a way to know when you think a player, a young player like him or like Walker, has truly had it click for them?
Say that you broke up on my end. Say that one more time.
Is there a way to know whether a player has officially arrived, whether it is actually clicking for them, as opposed to, well, they're just going through a good stretch, or it's been a good couple of months, but, you know, who knows what's going to happen a month from now?
I think so, yes. And I'll speak to the Walker one specifically, because he gets off to a really good start. And I think everybody was asking themselves, is this just a little like hot streak? And then what happens when it turns and he doesn't start performing the way he's performing right now? And we saw a little bit of that. But once a player can point back to what they do well, and you can see that they have something that they're anchored to, that they can just go back to and get back on track, that's when you start to believe that it's real. Where they know what gives them success, they know what they're thinking, their approach, physically, how their body's moving, and they can go back to what they're anchored to. And we saw that with Jordan, where he's like, nope, I got to get back on track. Here's what I do when I'm good. And he took off again. So once a player faces a little bit of adversity and shows that they know how to get out of it and starts to shorten the amount of time that they are in that space, I think that's when it starts to become real.
Ollie, last quick thing before we go.
Sure.
You've got a couple games before this happens, but have you allowed yourself to think about what this weekend could look like? You started this tarps off movement. You've primed the pump with the crowd. You've gotten them excited. The Cubs will be at Busch Stadium. I mean, it's really the first big weekend of summer. It could be something.
It will be something. I'm ready to get back home, and it's cool to be able to say that, right? Like, we've talked about in the previous year, some of the comments that our young guys have made as far as like playing on the road and playing at home and just the atmosphere. It's really cool to sit here in Milwaukee right now and just think about, man, it's going to be really cool to get back home in front of our fans because of the environment that I already know is going to be there this weekend. Cause it was there the entire week it was midweek games, and our place it felt electric, right? I mean, we played at 12:15 before leaving, and the place was awesome. So I can only imagine what this weekend's going to be like. Trust me, I'm looking forward to it.
It should be fun. We appreciate you. Have a great rest of your day. Good luck tonight in Milwaukee. Thank you for joining us today.
Absolutely appreciate you guys. Thank you.
Cardinals manager Ollie Marmol with us on KMOX. Good times with the manager as always. Thanks for taking all of our questions. We'll be back. We'll have more. We'll take your questions. We'll continue to do that. back on the Gas House Gang with Bernie Miklas and Chris Ranji, producers Matt Pajeski, Frank Ladd. I'm Tom Ackerman. Good to visit with Ollie Marmel. He was with us for a good half hour. If you want to go back and listen to that once the show is up, it'll replay on your social media channels. You can check that all out. Bernie, I thought he was good today. He's been ready to go answering all questions, and I sense that he's very confident in his team right now. I do think that over the long haul of the season, I just didn't expect this team to start steamrolling people. I expect that young players tested with a full season is a monster challenge, just to be quite honest. It's a day-to-day situation, I think, with the Cardinals. We'll see.
Yeah, and they, you know, they got some things working against them, but every time I think in those terms, and you know, I don't think it's been a good May for them per se, but it's been a resilient May. They usually have a response, but I think the challenges this month have been offensively greater than they were in April, certainly. But every time, Tom and Chris, that I start thinking about, well, the Cardinals have leveled off. Well, the Cardinals, maybe they're going to have a tough stretch here. Well, this doesn't look good. And I look around the division, you know, just got to look around the division, except for Milwaukee. And the Pirates go through this. The Reds go through this. The Cubs are definitely going through this. And the Cardinals do, too. And if you look around Major League Baseball in general, I mean, teams are up and down. They're east and west, fluctuations everywhere. So I always got to remind myself, this just isn't happening only in St. Louis. It's happening to pretty much every team except for four or five, maybe.
Well, yeah, and looking at the Cubs, that's a really interesting case. And the two teams, the two organizations are in very different places. The Cardinals are not, they're not really supposed to be in second place in a couple of games out of first at this point of the year. And I know that a lot will change probably, and, you know, we'll get a couple of months deeper into the season and maybe that deficit grows a little bit. Maybe it doesn't. I don't know. But for them to be 2 months into the year and six games over 500, I'm pretty satisfied with that. If you're the Cubs, on the other hand, and you're going through what they're going through, you have to be infuriated by that. Because what they've won 10 in a row and then lost nine or something right. like that, right?
I mean, they've lost nine in a row, yeah.
That's pretty miserable. The Cardinals are overperforming again, and you could probably argue that they're overperforming better this year than they were last year. Again, only 2 months in, but a third into the season, they're doing this. It's tough not to be pleased with it.
And they're doing this with the bottom five payroll too. I wanted to throw a stat out there because I think this is funny. Cardinals fans will enjoy it. So this month, the whole month of May, Bregman, Swanson, Crow Armstrong, Nico Horner, and Suzuki, those five guys this month are hitting a combined 195. And they got seven homers and 400 at bats. You know what? They're collectively they're being paid. You know what their total contracts are with the Cubs? What it adds up to? Those five guys, $693 million.
Yeah,
that's. I mean, so Raj, people are going to think we were like setting that up because it's too. What I just threw out there kind of backs up your point. I mean, how could a team that's got five guys in a lineup that are going to make $693 million from the Cubs, how can they be at any point trailing the Cardinals?
Well, especially in this season when the Cardinals have, I don't want to say they've punted on it, but they, you know, we knew what this was supposed to be going in. This is, we've talked about it 1,000 times. So just to have them where they are, have them overperforming the, you know, the Pythagorean again and doing it better than they did it even last year. And that's a lot, I think, credit to Oliver Marmel. This should be encouraging to all of us. Now, the end game here is to get to where the Brewers are. And I don't mean first place, but maybe, you know, how the Brewers looked at the Cardinals organization for years is like, that's the model. That's what we want to be. And now we're kind of looking back at the Brewers thinking, well, that's the model. That's what we need to be. We need to be what Milwaukee is and do it the way they do it. Draft, scout, develop, do all of those things really, really well. Get great pitching. You know, that's where the Cardinals need to be. And then they need to do it one better by getting to that place where structurally, foundational level, they're awesome. But then they're also willing to supplement it with good free agent talent when it's available. That's what the Cardinals need to be doing.
Yeah, it's about as bad as you can possibly be. The Cubs, during this stretch where they've lost 13 of 15, are hitting 176 as a team. Their starting pitchers are 0-11 with a 6.51 ERA. I mean, it is just brutal. And by the way, they're not going to get a day off before they come here. They're going to play the Pirates for three more, and the last one will be against Paul Skeens. So it is a rough go for the Chicago Cubs. Bernie, I mentioned the listener's question about hit by pitches. Is that a lost thing in baseball? Remember when we all covered Tony La Russa's teams, you knew that you were going to have to get a little payback if you were coming after Cardinals hitters. Does that happen anymore?
Well, it happens, but I think it's pretty isolated. And I'm not exactly why that is. I mean, because I think there is a code in baseball, and I think, as you pointed out, Tony La Russa, you know, firmly believed in the code. But I also think there's a lot more managers now who don't necessarily buy into the eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth thing, because I think they try to take intent in mind. Like, if they don't think, you know, the other teams like intentionally try to nail their guys, I don't think they're interested in escalating it. And I think Ollie Marmol's one of those guys. But I think it's a legit question. I think it's a totally legit question. But it's another way the game has changed. There's no question about it.
There was we'll take a break here. There was an incident in the game I was calling with Lance Lynn, the MVC baseball tournament last week. And Lance has that old school mentality. And this pitcher for Indiana State was rolling and had a no hitter going. And the Murray State player bunted, their best player, bunted to get on for the first hit. Next time he was up, first pitch, he got hit right in the shoulder. And Lance goes, "Bunt that." He's like, "That's what I would have said to him." I just love that. That's the kind of baseball we grew up on.
Bernie Miklas on KMOX is sponsored by Stewart's American Mortgage, home of the Bagel Loan, and by Celica Heating and Cooling, a Daikin Comfort dealer.
Gas House Gang on KMOX with Chris Ranji. I'm Tom Ackerman. Bernie Miklas is with us as always on these Tuesdays and Thursdays. Bernie, you'll be back on Thursday. Ollie was really good today for this Tuesday edition. It's going to be fun to see where this all goes. Bernie, anything else that maybe is nagging at you about this team, or do you feel overall that things are still starting to turn the right way for this club?
Yeah, it kind of goes back to what I said, you know, the previous segment. It's like the Cardinals' fluctuations concern me at times, especially the offense in the month of May. It has not been a good offense in the month of May. But, gosh, the streakiness throughout baseball, because this year, for whatever reason, there's a lot of parity. There really is. You got four of the lowest payrolls in Major League Baseball this year in the top 10, might even be top 8 of winning percentage. So that tells you a lot right there, the topsy-turvy nature of it. But I do think for the Cardinals to, like, really make a run offensively, you know, they're going to have to strengthen the bottom of the lineup, either through the guys they have getting better or maybe trying out somebody new. Because the Cardinals are really good 1 through 4. They're not bad at number 5. And then there's a pretty considerable drop-off. And that's I know most teams have a drop-off, but it seems like the gap in this lineup might be a little bigger than I see in other places. And I just think the rotation is improving. And the bullpen definitely is improving, and all the stats back that up. But we all know that the margin of error, sorry, get my words out, the margin of error for Cardinal starters, unless it's Libertor striking people out, it's a thin line between, you know, turning in a good start or just getting blown up. I mean, they don't have a lot of room for error, and that's always a little bit of a concern.
Yeah, and the bench isn't particularly great either. So, I mean, you talk about the lineup. It's, you know, they're not a deep team. They weren't supposed to be a deep team, and they're proving to be that. And with the rotation, you got a lot of guys who are number 3 or 4 or 5. You don't have any true top-of-the-order pitchers, probably, which can get you through a season. But, I mean, it's a lot tougher when you get to the playoffs. So I don't know if this is going to be a playoff team or not. I still think that's a long shot, but I'd like to see them get to the end of the year and still be in the conversation, you know?
Yeah, I agree. The team to watch here, the team that's really found their groove, the Arizona Diamondbacks. Look out here. They're 29-24. They are starting to make a little push here. They've won 8 of 10, 3 in a row, and it's an interesting team to keep an eye on. Bernie, we appreciate you. Enjoy the game tonight, and we'll catch up with you real soon.
Great being with you guys, as always. Love you. Thank you.
Always good to be. Love you. Good to be with Bernie, with Chris. I'm Tom Ackerman. Thanks for joining us on the Gas House Gang on KMOX.